These are verses from the end of the book of Deuteronomy, essentially the last book in the original ancient Hebrew scripture, the fifth book of the Pentateuch, and this is how it closes. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead, as far as Dan. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to your descendants." He's reached his destination. He has brought the people through 40 years of wilderness travel and has led them to the promised land. I don't know why I do this. I was wondering what might have happened or how it might have been different had Moses had a GPS. Turn left after one decade. If he'd had a GPS, knowing what I know about GPS, if he'd been smart, he'd thrown it in the Dead Sea. I had a GPS last Thursday night looking for the wedding venue in Amarillo for the rehearsal for Jason Jordan's wedding. And I had the address. I was plugging it into the GPS. And I have a nodding acquaintance with Amarillo geography, and I sort of knew where this was. I had an intuitive notion as to where it was. But hey, who needs a map? Let's plug in the coordinates, and there we go. So I hit the direction button about, just through Canyon, and I passed the place where my intuition said I need to turn, kind of on the south side of Amarillo. But the GPS said, go 5 miles, then turn right. So I did. Then I went 5 more miles, take a left, and you have reached your destination. I looked at my destination. It was a vacant lot between a truck stop and an adult fantasy superstore. I'm thinking, I don't think the wedding venue is here. So I looked at a map, and lo and behold, I was exactly kind of where I thought it was, and I was only 10 miles off course, thanks to the GPS. It kind of reminded me of my grandmother balancing her checkbook and checking the calculator with pen and pencil. We may be the last generation that actually looks at a map and checks the GPS as opposed to vice versa. Well, I left in plenty of time, and all's well that ends well on that. But I've been pondering the notion of global positioning system and its strengths, but its more obvious fallibilities. And I began to wonder, what might a GPS look like if it was God's positioning system? Where would God position things? Where has God positioned his world and us and so on? And without pushing the analogy too far, it causes me to think of three questions, essentially. Where has God positioned God's creation, the human world? Where has God positioned each person within it? And finally, where has God positioned himself relative to those other two things? First, where has God positioned his creation, the human world? Well, that's been a subject of rather profound debate between theology and science. And never mind the flat, round debate. We really thought, based on who we must be relative to the nature of the God we surely knew, we must be at the center of the universe. God put us right in the middle, the most important spot in a universe that we certainly could come to understand in due course. It turns out the science of the cosmology, of the cosmos, tells us that we're pretty much a random rock in the infinite vast. And the sun, around which our little random rock revolves, is a sort of lukewarm star in the category of bazillions of them in a vastness that is, for all intents and purposes, infinite. A random rock in the infinite vast. Really? The infinite vast I'll get to in a second, but I don't think, and my faith tells me this, but also even logic, I don't think it's quite so random. We are 93 million miles and change from the source of our light and essentially our life. And if that were to change, even fractionally, we would burn up or freeze in a heartbeat. Not quite so random. And the orbit itself is not a perfect circle. It's a rather precisely defined geometric ellipse. And that's what gives us the change of seasons. So it strikes me that there may be an infinite vast, but there's a lot less random than you might think, and that science can figure out. With the level of precision regarding the distance between the Earth and the Sun, and the nature of that elliptical orbit that gives us the cycle of life. Not so random. That makes me feel more faithful. And the infinite vast. I think it would be disappointing if we were able to figure it all out, because it would absolve the need to try to ponder the meaning of mystery. It also, I think, would allow us to get way too full of ourselves. All you have to do the next time you feel like the world was created for you and it in fact revolves around you is stand on the edge of a canyon or at the seashore or at the foot of a mountain or just lay down at night and look at the stars that are big and bright deep in the heart of Texas. And it's a humbling experience, which I think is good for us, to know that there is way more out there than we could ever understand. And it leaves us both appropriately humble and, I think, awestruck. So where has God positioned the human creation? Somewhere in the infinite vast, but with a rather remarkable precision that gives us life. God's positioning system on the human world. Well, okay, where has God positioned each one of us? I mean, if you talk about feeling small, if the Earth has a level of infinite smallness compared to the universe, what about each of us? I think our faith and our experience tells us that by and large, and I'm not talking about in the midst of major crises, I'll get to that in a second, by and large, God has positioned us more or less where we need to be, and has even given us an intuition that tells us when we've deviated from our course. And have you not, at least once in your life, known that you were spinning off the rails and kept going anyway, because if I just keep doing more of what doesn't work, it'll start working? Until you go, okay, that's sort of insane, and you look at the map and you're back where you belong, right? I think that most of us wind up doing much of what we are supposed to be doing. It's called vocation. I think of some of the twists and turns my life has taken. When I was in my last year of seminary and going through the call process, where are you going to wind up? What church wants you? Where are you going to go interview? I was sure. I was living in Chicago at the time, and I was sure that I was going to go to a fairly well-to-do church in a very nice suburb in Carroll Stream, Illinois. I had a spy in the bishop's office, a very good friend of mine. He said, you know what? They're looking at you real hard out in Carroll Stream. I thought, yes, that's great. We actually drove out to Carroll Stream on a Saturday, went past the church, scoped it out, looked at the neighborhood, checked housing prices. And I got a phone call about 4 days later saying they want to interview you in, well, Forgottonia, Illinois. Out not in the suburbs of Chicago, where I really wanted to live, but in the west central part, in the middle of nowhere. So that's where I went. And then, after deciding I was going to move toward this career now, I was pretty sure that I had a good shot at a faculty position at Northwestern University, which is in Evanston, Illinois, which is another great Chicago suburb. I love that place. I'd made the first cut. Well, I didn't make the second cut, and got a phone call from a guy in Lubbock, Texas, which I had to look up on a map. It's in the Forgottonia part of the panhandle. Well, here's the deal. In Forgottonia, Illinois, I met Jeannie. In the panhandle of Texas, I met all of you. Things worked out like they needed to. And all I had to do was stop trying to micromanage the thing, driving past the house, checking who else is at Northwestern. Right? You get the idea? More or less, most of the time, we wind up where we need to be, doing what God needs doing. And God has positioned us far more precisely than you might imagine. GPS. God's creation, each one of us. Where is God? Where does God position himself? Christianity is unique in all the world's religions in the doctrine of the incarnation. That is, God has positioned himself in the midst of the world as a human being. Jesus, the Son of God, the fullness of God, was born a human being and came to be positioned on a cross. That's where God has positioned God. The point of which was to have God fully and completely enter into and ultimately redeem the human experience. There is no place God didn't go on the cross in the days after but what he knows and experiences where you are. It's a question that refers to the doctrine of theodicy. How does God permit, if you will, terrible things to happen? The archetypal question is, where was God when my son died? And the answer to the question is, God is in the same place he was when his own son died. And there's a level of empathy and strength and hope that comes from the reality that God has placed himself in the midst of our lives, in the midst of anything and everything that we can experience. The creation is in the infinite vast and precisely placed. We are where we belong, doing what needs doing. And when we're in deep trouble, God is next to us and within the experience. God's positioning system. Well, how do we get a hold of this? You know, we got a gizmo that goes in the dashboard of the car. What are the trappings of, or the what equipment do we have to activate the GPS? Three things: a sunrise, a Bible, and a prayer. The sunrise is a metaphor for the infinite vast. It comes up every day. Actually, the Earth goes down relative to the sun, but nonetheless, 93 million miles and change. You can watch the sun rise on the horizon. It's a wonderful place to do it in West Texas. And you should know that what you're seeing is actually 8 or 9 minutes late from when it occurred. It takes light 8 or 9 minutes to travel that 93 million miles. So there's a 9-minute time delay. You're actually seeing the sun as it was 9 minutes ago, which is kind of cool. And you can ponder with awe the infinite vast every morning, the sunrise. The Holy Scriptures, the stories of people wandering here and there. There's almost no human being's story in the Bible that doesn't mirror our own in general terms. Everybody wants to know, and the stories are here, where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I supposed to be? What do I do next? Abraham, David, Solomon, Isaiah, Saints Peter and Paul, the four gospel writers, Zacchaeus and the woman at the well. They're all us. Their questions, their circumstances are exactly the same. So hold on to the Bible for a minute. You know, that's the other piece of the GPS. The sunrise, the Bible, and a prayer. A prayer is a conduit of conversation where we can sharpen our intuition if we listen, where we can vent our feelings and have God accept them. Those are the components, those are the guts of God's positioning system. The sunrise, the Bible, and a prayer, and that's all you need. The next time you find yourself staring at a vacant lot between a truck stop and the adult fantasy superstore, whatever that means metaphorically to you, and with the sunrise, the Bible, and a prayer, you'll find your way home. Amen.